You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, when you lose your job, your income might not be the only casualty. It turns out that our sense of self and identity can also take a hit.
First, when it comes time for a pregnant woman to deliver a baby, many people take it for granted that they can easily jump into the car and drive to the hospital. But for the nation's most rural residents, things are more difficult, and the situation appears to be getting worse.
As rural hospitals and clinics are forced to make cutbacks, maternal health care services are often the first to be cut, according to our next guest. And a forthcoming study from the University of Minnesota Rural Health Research Center finds that more than two-thirds of rural counties in Florida, Nevada, and South Dakota have no in-county obstetrical services.
CDC data also shows that the maternal and infant mortality rates are both higher in rural areas.
Dina Fine-Marin joins us now. She's health and medicine editor at Scientific American and recently wrote a piece called Maternal Healthcare is Disappearing from Rural America. Dina, welcome back to Central Time.
Nice to be here.
Well, if you could paint a picture for us, what are some of the women that you profile facing when they live in these rural areas where there may not be healthcare nearby when they're expecting a baby?
Yeah, so only about 6% of the nation's OBGYNs work in rural areas. So as a result, some women I spoke to for this article told me rather harrowing tales of how women in their area have to drive great distances to deliver a baby or even in some cases to get prenatal care. So less than half of rural women live within a 30-minute drive of the nearest hospital offering obstetrical services. And only about 88% of women in rural towns live within a 60-minute drive. So as a result, some women have taken to camping out near a hospital ahead of their due date, whether it be with a family member or they have the wherewithal to and the monies to be able to stay in a hotel. Obviously, that's a huge inconvenience for them and potentially economically problematic. And some other women I spoke to have even said that they have ended up having to deliver on their way to the hospital in the back of a car or even stopping at an emergency room and delivering in the ER there.
And you said there's also evidence that some women may be opting to get elective C-sections so that they know that they'll be close to their health care when they need it.
Yeah, I spoke to one gentleman who's the executive director of the Alabama Rural Health Association, and he says that he's seen that phenomenon in his state, and that's why he attributes the state's high C-section rate as compared to the national average. He thinks that that's a direct result of some of these distance issues.
I mean, does it also mean that some women may just decide, you know, it's too much of a hassle and I can't get there, so I'm just going to forego some of my health care in the lead up?
Yeah, that is possible. Some women may not be getting as much prenatal care as is recommended due to those distance issues. In the past, family physicians may have moved in to take over some of this care, but those numbers are dropping as well in rural areas of how many family physicians are offering obstetrical care or even prenatal basic care.
Were family physicians able to offer all the services that they might have gotten these women expecting from a specialist?
No, they wouldn't, and that's a great point. Of course, the reality is if a woman is going to it looks like she might have a complicated pregnancy or need certain kinds of prenatal testing or genetic counseling, a family physician would not be well poised to offer all of those services.
And you're saying that even the family physicians who did step in to offer some of those services, that option is starting to go away too. Is that right?
Exactly.
How
yep.
come? What's happening?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's part of a larger area of talking about what's happening in rural healthcare in general, because people who live in rural communities are more often poorer than those who live in their more urban environments. As a result, they're less likely to have healthcare coverage from a private insurer, and they'll have Medicaid. They'll be reimbursed at lower rates. The doctors will be reimbursed at lower rates. And as a result, doctors have trouble, in some cases, making as much money, and so they may be either leaving those communities or more hesitant to accept patients that don't have private insurance.
And you also write that, in general, obstetrics and gynecology is expensive, it seems like, and it's hard to get a solid number on the budget. You don't know, for instance, how much it's going to cost to deliver a baby.
Yeah, I was really surprised to find that studies have found that obstetrics gynecology accounts for more than 5% of hospital costs. And obviously, one of the reasons that takes place is, let's say you're having a hip replacement. You can know exactly how long it's going to take, most likely, and what resources you will need during that. But obviously, it's hard to anticipate exactly how long it would take to deliver a baby. So the number of nurses and doctors and surgeons and anesthesiologists that must be available throughout that delivery obviously would add up.
We're talking with Dina Fine-Marin right now. She's health and medicine editor at Scientific American, and she wrote a piece recently called Maternal Healthcare is Disappearing from Rural America. And we're curious to hear if this is something that you've experienced here in Wisconsin. Have you had trouble getting the healthcare you need, the prenatal care you need if you're expecting, or getting to the hospital when you need to deliver? How did it affect you? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. And Dina, looking closely at why these maternal services are disappearing, what sort of statistics do we have about what's happening and how quickly they seem to be leaving rural counties?
So as I mentioned, this is a larger rural healthcare problem. 80 rural hospitals have been shuttered nationwide since 2010, and a recent study suggests about a third of the country's remaining rural facilities are vulnerable to closure, and that's because they operate at such tight financial margins. So this is a problem we're probably going to see growing in the coming years. For example, in the state of Mississippi, half of Mississippi's rural providers operate at a loss, a financial loss, so that, of course, puts them in some economic difficulty. As far as what can be done to try to address these sorts of problems, the solution isn't clear. Policymakers have suggested maybe if we provide more financial incentives for doctors to work in rural areas who have an OBGYN specialty with things like student loan forgiveness, that might help. So there's a bill right now that's passed the House that hasn't yet been introduced into the Senate that would do just that.
And you tell some stories about, you quote a doctor, for instance, who said, maybe there is one doctor in an area who can offer these sort of prenatal services, but they don't want to be the only doctor in the area because you're going to work yourself to death. How does that factor in?
Yeah, it has a multiplier effect, as you mentioned. One doctor I spoke with for this piece talked about how if you are the only OBGYN doctor in the area, obviously you can't predict when women are going to go into labor, so you would potentially be fielding a lot of calls and be on the road driving to a lot of different places. And actually, we are seeing this problem as well with midwives, nurse midwives. I've been asked this question in the past, well, if hospitals are no longer offering OBGYN care, is that leading to more women giving birth at home and depending on nurse midwives? And the answer is that nurse midwives are also moving out of rural areas. I spoke to some nurse midwives that didn't make it into this piece who said that they, too, are moving out of these areas because they just aren't having enough patients in a rural area to really make ends meet. And that's because of the fact that rural communities in general are graying. It's a demographic fact that reduces the number of births and makes it difficult for a midwife, just like a hospital, to financially justify living in the area.
Let's take a quick question here from Alicia in Milwaukee. Alicia, hi.
Hi. I had a question with respect to infant mortality. As a result of having such a low number of healthcare providers in the rural areas, has it impacted infant mortality? I know in the city of Milwaukee, there's a large number of children that are dying, infants that are dying. And also, what about the impact on the mothers? Are they dying as a result of not having this lack of health care?
Alicia, thanks for that question. And Dina, what do you know about that? And also whether there are long-term health implications for women or their babies because of this?
Yeah, great question. As I discussed in my piece at scientificamerican.com, we don't have any good numbers that point to these long-term answers about whether or not this leads to worse physical or psychological health for the mothers. For this piece, however, I did analyze maternal mortality and infant mortality rates across the nation, breaking those numbers down by how urban a location is versus how rural it is. And for that, I used public Centers for Disease Control data. And I found that, yes, the maternal mortality rate is problematic in rural areas, and that it affects infant mortality rates as well. Infant mortality rates also see those kinds of differences, but we can't connect those dots. We can't say for sure that those are occurring because of these distances the mothers have to travel. We might say, well, rural health care is problematic for other reasons, so perhaps there are underlying health conditions, whether they be hypertension, diabetes, heart issues that might be contributing to these numbers, and again, potentially a lack of prenatal care or robust prenatal care. So until there are greater studies that take place and study these rural communities longer term, we just don't have these answers at all.
And, you know, you also write about how it could be the part of the solution is to train more doctors explicitly to work in rural areas. And you talk about what the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health is doing in that regard. They have a pioneering program. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so until now there have been tracks within existing medical school programs where, let's say, a doctor might do a rotation during his or her residency in a rural area or have a track within a program that's looking at something else. But the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine Public Health is actually launching the nation's first official obstetrics gynecology residential program, and that will start this year, actually. Later this month, the first resident will be matched into it. But when I say resident, note that that's singular, and their program for very rural areas is just starting with one resident. And so obviously that isn't a large enough fix to try to look at these issues more broadly, but it is a start. The University of Wisconsin's thought process there was that statistically where doctors train during residency is where they're more likely to end up practicing longer term. So their thought is if you train more doctors, hopefully those doctors will stay.
And just briefly, we're almost out of time. Any other solutions on the table?
Sure. Yeah, another solution that's being talked about is telemedicine, helping to move in for some of the at least prenatal care issues. But what's making that complicated, since telemedicine is a virtual healthcare offering, is that you would often need broadband internet access to make that work. And unfortunately, broadband is something that has not made it to every rural area, and often that is a complication that would mean telemedicine isn't feasible.
Dina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dina Fine-Marin is health and medicine editor at Scientific American, and she talked about a recent article, Maternal Healthcare is Disappearing in Rural America.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk about job loss and self-worth. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickert on Central Time.